Your attendance here today is a real encouragement to me. I hope an encouragement to one another. See, those of God's elect, God's chosen people, coming to the place that we should be here in this world. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He's placed here in this world, that we might meet to worship Him and honor Him and thank Him for all that He has done for us. The church is designed to be a place where God is honored. It's about the Lord from the very foundation, and all of the building fitly framed together is built to be a place of praise and a place of worship of Almighty God. Under the old law service, all that was there was to be about praising God and pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were things that were brought in at times, and at one place the Lord Himself entered into the tabernacle, into the temple, and drove out the money changers and told them that you have made the house of prayer a den of thieves. Hopefully and prayerfully this morning as we gather together, we try our very best to remove all of those things that hinder us today as we gather so that we might truly meet to worship the Lord. It's not about our own selves. It's not about our family per se. It's about the Lord, about giving the Lord the honor and the praise and the glory. And see others who come that way. It's an encouragement in this whole world to see even as many as we have today. And I know in the eyes of the world this is not a big crowd, but we're thankful to see each of you that are here. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is one in our midst, and He blesses us, and we're very, very thankful for you this morning. Appreciate the sweet prayer, the good song service, the expressions of need, even of the Lord's people, that we look to the Lord and want to pray, and need to pray. Had a lot of passages of scriptures on my mind this morning, and done a lot of searching, and had a whole lot of things that I wanted to talk about today that I felt like that if I had an opportunity, this is what I'd speak on. And I've wanted to stay with that, but my mind's gone elsewhere. And I'm going to follow how the Lord's leading, trust it's of the Lord. And so if you'll turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from a very familiar psalm. It's the 95th psalm. And I'm going to read all 11 verses of Psalm 95. This psalm is a psalm that is about what we're doing this morning. It's about the worship of Almighty God. It's about the activity of God's children. It's about what we are to do in our lives. It's what we do on Sunday mornings when it's time to go to the house of God, but it also ought to be what we do throughout our life and throughout the days of our lives. Serving the Lord is where our life, if we've been called of the Lord, that's what He's called us to do. And that's to live our life in service to Him. It's not about just what you do on Sunday, and that has no effect on the rest of your life. But it's about following the Lord each and every day of our life and recognizing every day is a blessing of the Lord. And it is to be lived in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. That necessitates us understanding that without the Lord we wouldn't have anything. In order to really be able to worship Him, we have to understand and know that. Well, let's read the passage. Psalm 95. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I hope this morning, as you gathered here today, you found some rest in singing the precious songs that honor and glorify the Lord. I hope you found some rest as you sit and hear the gospel in song, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and as you make melody in your heart. The Bible teaches us that our singing is not only just about making melody in our heart to the Lord, but that we also teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we make melody in our heart to the Lord. The songs we sing talk about the Lord. It's not just the lines. I know we have probably tunes that we have as more favorite than others, or timings we like a little better, or some might like slower songs, some might like faster songs, but I want us to understand our singing is really not about the musical notation. It isn't about the pitch. It isn't about the harmony. I think we ought to sing, as I've said often, I think we ought to sing the very best that we can sing. I think we ought to make as much of a melodic sound unto the Lord. He's deserving of our very best, and that ought to be our intent. But I'm telling you that if we really today, this morning, had a song service that was pleasing to God, it was a song service that was from the heart, and it was making praise and honor and glory to the Lord. And it's making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We're to sing the truth. We are to preach the truth, no doubt, but we ought to sing the truth. The songs we sing have a message. And if you heard those hymns this morning, I know sometimes it's like when the preaching is going on, sometimes we're listening really intently, and sometimes we're hearing what Charlie Brown hears when his teacher's talking, you know, bye, 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 bye. And I don't want it to be like that in the preaching, but I don't want it to be like that in the singing either. When we're singing these songs, I know we've sung them many times, and most of the time we could probably sing most of them, a lot of them, without even a book in our hands, and could just be able from memory sing those songs. But think about the wonderful words that have been expressed this morning in the hymns and the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs that we've been blessed to come together today and sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Think about that truth and what it means. And if you really understand that truth, there's something to rest in. See, there are a lot of God's children today that are not, and I'm talking about God's children. I'm talking about those who will be at home in glory. I'm talking about those whom Jesus loved and died for. I'm talking about those He loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. I'm talking about those that Jesus came into this world for and paid the sin debt for, and washed in His own blood and made them whiter than snow, and has removed their sin debt from them as far as the east is from the west. There are many of the Lord's people that are not truly resting in the Lord today because they're continuing in a labor they cannot do, rather than by faith trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The songs we sang this morning talked about a finished work, didn't they? They talked about the Lord who really came and really died and really saved and really finished a work that men could not do. That if it was left up to me and you, there'd be no place to rest. We need to be laboring and working. And I don't want you to rest in the sense of going to sleep. I want you to rest in the sense of being at peace with the Lord, because the Lord has made you and brought you to a place where He's brought you and reconciled you unto Himself. And therefore, as the ministry is to preach it, you be reconciled unto God, because He's reconciled us unto Himself. And that way, in that manner we sang about, that was through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you read the Psalm 95, you're reading about Jesus. And by the way, anywhere you read in the Old Testament, you're reading about Jesus. And though somebody said, well, that's the Old Testament, a New Testament talks about Jesus. Listen, the New Testament opens up and reveals unto us what the Old Testament was all about. And when they pointed about Jesus, when Jesus walked on the road with the two to Emmaus, He went to the law and to the prophets and declared unto them all of those things that testified of himself. And those two men that were, they weren't resting worthy, but they were okay. But they didn't know it. You see, God's children who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, they are all right because the Lord, what the Lord has done for them. But there is an importance for you and I to know that in this world, that our life won't be lived wasted, where we're walking along in this world troubled and burdened and overcome with despair. You know, the last thing I want to do here today is depress you. Preaching shouldn't depress you. Preaching should humble you, but then encourage you. Preaching should knock you down, but it ought to lift you up. Preaching the gospel ought to, if you're high-minded, abase you. But if you're humbled, it ought to bring you up and lift you up out of the doldrums, out of the cares and the troubles and the problems. Out of your weakness, you see a strength that you have in the Lord that you don't have in yourself. Out of your lack of wisdom, you're given a knowledge to live in this world in a way to honor the Lord. Listen, the language is clear. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing, but in Christ, through Him, we can do all things. In Christ and through Christ, who loved us and strengthened us. And that's what the 95th Psalm is about. And that's what we're to talk about. He says, oh, come. That means we need to come. That means, and to come means you have to leave someplace to go somewhere else. And you can come to church and bring the world right with you. You ever done that? Come to church, bring your job with you. Hope your job isn't on your mind. I sure don't want it on my mind this morning. I'm going to have it on my mind tomorrow. And hopefully I'll feel better about it because of what I get today. About my job. Otherwise, I'm not even doing my job the way I'm supposed to. See, as a little child of God, I'm not just supposed to be getting along in this world, having the world bog me down and tie me up and wrap me. I am to understand that every single day there is a God on His throne and His Son seated by His right hand that is able to supply what I need for tomorrow when I go on my job, so that my job, whatever it might be, shouldn't overwhelm me, but rather I can be more than a conqueror. Isn't that what the Word says? Through, how? Through Him that loved us. In what? That's in whatever you got to face. I don't have a clue what you're going to face tomorrow. But I guarantee you it's going to be rough. In this world, you're going to have a good time. Is that what Jesus said? In this world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. The more you live godly in Christ Jesus, the more you try to live right, the more you try to follow His Word, the more you commit yourself to a life of godliness. And I'm not talking about anything done by your own power. I'm talking about a little child of God, born of the Spirit of God, who has Christ in them, the hope of glory, putting on the outside what He's put on the inside, and committing ourselves in our life that come what may, whether joy or sorrow, I want to follow Jesus. Where He leads me, I will follow. I hope you've made that commitment in your life. And then, you know, somebody said, well, that sounds awful. That sounds awful workish. Listen, it's what God's little children only can do. But we are to do that. It isn't how you become a child of God. It's as a little child of God born of His Spirit, how are you going to live? And I've already seen evidence in you that you're a little child of God, a little child of grace. Why are you at Old Baptist Church anyway? Unless somebody's brought you in, you didn't have any choice. Now, I know sometimes maybe we were brought that way. But you know, if you're here in any way whatsoever by your own choice, of your own free will, or your own desire, you're here to hear not about what the Lord needs you to do in order to get something done, but you want to hear about the Lord and what He's done for you and what He's done by His grace, so that now you can live your life and order your life and pattern your life in the way He's given you to live, because you've learned from this world that life really, if all you have is what's in the world, life isn't worth living. Because I'm telling you, you'll blossom for a little while, then you grow old and you die. You're not going to hold on to your youth. You're not going to hold on to your money. You're not going to hold on to fame. You're not going to hold on to your health. You're not going to hold on to anything this world would consider as being important. And so the only true important thing for God's little children in this world is fellowship with the Lord. And when you have that, all those other things just are like, they're like the blessings that come. if you didn't have them, you'd be okay. But he gives you them in spite of all, and all of the things you deserve, he's been so good to us. Now he says, oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Now we have something to sing about. I want to sing the right song, don't you? I want to preach the right message. I don't want to just be a preacher that preaches any message. I want to preach the gospel. And the gospel is a message of comfort. The gospel is a message of good news. The gospel is talking about Jesus Christ and the power that God's little children have in the Lord, the forgiveness of sins, which He has done for us, that has assured us of a home in heaven, and then the ability to live in this world in a way that will honor and glorify the Lord in spite of our old self. Do you ever have old self just rise up and get in your way? Well, don't feel out of sorts altogether with that. Read Romans 7, and you'll read about the life of the Apostle Paul, who said, when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And he said, and the things that I wouldn't do, I find myself doing, and the things I say I won't do, I won't do. He got and do, and what? And I have a desire from the inward man. Do you have that desire in your heart? I want to live better, act better, talk better. I don't want to be so hard-headed. I want to be a lot quieter sometimes. A lot of times right after I've told somebody something I really thought, I wished I'd have just been quiet. You ever been like that? The reason is, and there's a lot of times where I was quiet. When I walk away, I knew I should have spoken up. And it's a hard thing. Matter of fact, it's impossible. It is impossible for you and me to know when we're supposed to talk and when we're supposed to be quiet. It's impossible. We don't know it. I'll tell you what we will do as humans. Every time we're supposed to be quiet, we will talk. And every time we're supposed to talk, we'll be quiet. And for God's, for the man of the world, that's all they know. But listen, little child of God, you are born of the Spirit of God. You are a new creature. You have been made and shapen by the hand of God, and He's worked in you something that you didn't have of your own. And you and I are obligated to live our lives differently because of what He's done for us. Don't you believe that? I do. I believe you do. Nobody's walked out yet. I hope you don't. Listen, we have a God and a Savior who is deserving of our praise. And He made this world. He made the world, the planet we're living on. He's put on. I don't know what's in the middle of the earth. Some men think they do, but I don't know. I know this. The one who made it knows what's there. And the man who's living on the planet hadn't gotten through the crust yet. And thinks he knows all about it. Who you want to trust in? The one who thinks he knows everything and hadn't gotten through the crust, or the one who made the planet? I think I'll trust the one who made the planet. That's the Bible. Not only think, by faith. If it's not by faith, you won't be able to do it. But listen, by faith, you and I know He made the heavens and the earth. It just seems ignorant to think otherwise. By faith, we look at this planet and think it just happened to be. No. And the Bible here says that it isn't. It says, the Lord is a great God in verse 3. And let me get some of this in verse 1 and 2. He says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. I want to talk a little bit about that joyful noise. It's not a noise that doesn't make sense. It's not a noise that isn't orderly. It's not just a bunch of clanging. It's not tinkling cymbals. It's a message. This is a clear, concise message that ought to be all over our lives. It's a message that you hear in the pulpit. It's a message that you sing in your songs. It's a message that we ought to have when we greet one another. It's a message that you and I ought to carry with us. And we sing about that. Take the name of Jesus with you. It's that message that our very lives, our very walk, our talk, our actions ought to be giving to the world. We are to put on the whole armor of God. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to let our light, which is His light, isn't it? It's not our light in the sense we made it. You and I don't have a light. We are in darkness, and our darkness, except for Him who works in us. And then He says, let our light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the joyful noise God's little children need to be making. Now, if we just make it at church, it's good and wonderful to make it at church. When you come to church, we ought to make, isn't it fun to make that joyful noise when we come here? Somebody says, you want to have real fun in this world? You want to have real joy? And by the way, this is joy. It is a fruit of the Spirit. The dead man can't make this. The dead have no joy to be able to make a joyful noise. It's only God's children. If you have a song to sing, He put that song in your heart and in your mind. And He's the one who's taking you out of the dunghills and giving you that song to sing. All I'm saying to you is sing it loud. Sing it all the time. Sing it to the honor and the praise of the Lord. Let us not go in this old world like we do sometimes singing our own song. What song are you singing every day? Are we singing praises unto the Lord? If it is, you're living a life full of joy and peace and rest. And if as a little child of God we get off, and we all do from time to time, when we get off and go astray, let us go back and remember the song we ought to be singing. Remember the story and the truth we ought to be declaring. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And remember our salvation is completely and fully and throughly through Him. And by and through Him, I can do whatever I have to do in this world. And I'm talking about whatever it is. If it's a husband, you need to love your wife, and you can only do that in the Lord, in an honorable way. And if it's a wife, she needs to submit herself and love her husband, as the Scripture says, and you can only do that in the Lord, only by and through His grace. And if it's a child, you're to live your life, whether you're at school or anywhere else. Listen, mom and daddy can't follow you around, but you better believe the Lord is everywhere present and nowhere absent. And as a little child of grace, I can remember as a boy thinking I was getting by with so much. Most of the time, mama caught me, but that wasn't the biggest thing. It was that impression on my heart that had told me I was wrong. And God's little children, listen, in this world, you follow the children in the wilderness. They were the children of God in the wilderness. They had been brought out of Egyptian bondage. They had seen the glories and the power of God. And there in the wilderness, it seems like they would have learned a lesson. You know, after seeing the plagues of Egypt, you surely would have trusted in the Lord in the wilderness, wouldn't you? After you've seen all that happened to Pharaoh, I'd certainly want to be on the Lord's side after seeing what He did to Pharaoh, wouldn't you? And I think I never doubt Him. But listen, I am just like that in this world. He's brought me... You think about this for you. I'm going to think about it for me. He's brought me through so much right now in my life. When I think about how good He has been to me, I have every reason right now to trust Him in Him and have no reason whatsoever to doubt. And yet, as soon as I face a problem, I'm like those little children in the wilderness. Well, I'm thirsty. Where is the water going to come from, even though I've drank from the rock my entire life? I'm hungry. How am I going to eat, even though the manna has fallen every day in my life? I'm tired of this old manna. I'm tired of where I'm living. I'm tired of the job I have. I'm tired. It seems like my life didn't get very far. I'm discontented. I don't like this plan, God. Listen, God has been so good to us. And by the way, this old time world is just here for a little while. God's little children, you ought to be living in the rest the Lord has given you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when we become discontent, well, godliness with contentment is great gain. With discontentment, we're not walking in godliness. You're discontented? So, oh boy, he stopped preaching now and started meddling a little bit. You know, discontented. Well, how do you know when you're discontented? Well, do you complain? I would complain about my job. Complain about my house. Complain about my car. Complain about my clothes. Complain about my food. Complain about my family. Nobody here does any of that ever, do we? Next thing you know, we get right into the house of God and we start complaining about the church. Brethren, I'm telling you, we'll always find something in this world if we're thinking naturally to complain about. But when we think spiritually and we sing it, remember that, we hadn't sung it this morning, but that, I remember little Sister Robin used to call it all the time, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Think about what the Lord's done. And every blessing that you have and I have in my life came because a Savior died on the cross. And His blood was shed and He suffered like no one has ever suffered. The sin and the reproach that would have been ours in an eternity of suffering. And it cost Him that. And His children, who He has been so wonderful to, you and me, find ourselves complaining. So when you start complaining, remember that. That's why I said rejoice in the Lord. Philippians says rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. And just in case you didn't hear it, he says, and again I say, rejoice. So when I start complaining, she'll remind me. She said, you ought to be rejoicing. We need to rejoice. You think about how good the Lord has been. Number one, we have a heaven awaiting for us because Jesus loved us enough that in covenant, even before the foundation of the world, Jesus was sent into this world. And when Jesus went to the tree of the cross, he didn't try to do it, make it possible, but he died there and reconciled us to himself. The Bible says he did. And he paid a sin debt we could not pay, so that our eternal home in heaven, we will not miss that eternal rest, that eternal peace, that eternal joy that's awaiting us. But while we're here in this old time world, we can allow the things of this world, can't we, to rob us. And when we do, we're not honoring God, and we're outside of the will of God and the purpose of God and the direction God would have us in our life, and our life truly becomes a burden. He says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Now, that ought to be on our heart first. We mentioned a whole lot of things this morning. If you didn't understand the power of God, you could get depressed at an old Baptist meeting by the time they've gone through the needs on the prayer list of all the folks we've mentioned this morning. But I'm telling you, there's a God big enough to help someone who has got leukemia. There's someone who has any physical ailment, any financial need, any emotional problem, any drug addiction, anything that we have, any need in our life, any trouble we have, family troubles, work troubles, physical problems. He can either deliver us out of them altogether if it's his will. I've seen him do it. And throughout the scripture, we know he's able. He's able to come to a blind Bartimaeus and give him sight. He's able to take a man who's never walked in his life and have him leaping for joy. He's able to take those who are in a fiery furnace and free them so not even the smell of smoke is on them. He's able to do that and above all those things that we could talk about. Those are joyful noises, aren't they? We should make them. And then you just look at your life. You look at his handprint on your life. What he's done for you. I said praise him, don't you? I wish you was checking now. Listen, I hope you are inside. Wouldn't hurt you to do a little on the outside, but I hope you are on the inside. I don't believe in a lot of confusion, a lot of that, but I'm telling you, God's children. I know when Jesus walked in or rode in on the colt and on the ass into Jerusalem, there was some shouting going on. When the palms were laid down before him, the olive branches were laid down before him and the garments thrown out before him, they cried out loud and it upset the old Pharisees. Why are you making such a noise? I'm telling you, Hosanna. Why? Because the King of Kings is entering Jerusalem and he's coming there to die. He's coming there to give his life and pay a sin debt. He's fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. There's something to be shouting about in your life. If your life is boring, and mine gets that way sometimes, it's because I've forgotten what my life is really all about. That's what the song is about. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And they said they were going to shout. They didn't only say it, they shouted. And they said, you know, get them quiet. He said, well, if you're going to get quiet, the rocks will cry. Do you think your rocks can cry out? I'm going to tell you, when the Lord returns again, he's going to come with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Joyous time. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him. Not a clamoring that doesn't have a message. This is a message. This message is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a message of the gospel. It's a message we sing. It's a message baptism pictures. It's a message that we have in the breaking of the bread and the wine. It's a message of the ordinances of the church. It's a message of Jesus Christ, who is not just, he is our Lord, but he's also the rock of our salvation. Listen, our salvation is not based on what we've done for the Lord. That wouldn't be something you can rest in. Our salvation is based on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, have you found it? Sinking sand. And all of the do right religions, all of the religions that's based on you getting it done, all the religions that's trusting in yourself, to trust in, even to trust in the Lord. Listen, if the Lord hadn't done it all, I'm in trouble, and so are you. The good news is this: He's done that which was necessary, and now He is worthy of our trust. And our trust gives us not our relationship, it gives us rest in what He's done for us. And a timely deliverance. I get peace right now. I've come to church in trouble and hear the gospel and he get peace. Listen, I got a little peace. I brought Dad's vehicle back from over the mountain yesterday and it hit the CD player and all of a sudden old George Jones come crying out of there. Now listen, he wasn't singing some of the songs that, you know, I've heard some of them. I ain't going there. But George, he was singing "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." What a friend we have in Jesus. And I got happy on the way home. Just thinking about a Lord who's been so good to an old sinner like me. I come to church because I need it. I need to hear this message again so I get my cup filled. I need to have it. This world drains my cup. This truth helps me understand what my life is all about and keeps me on focus. Gives me a reason for getting up. And it'll humble you. It'll knock you down. You think you're so much, and this truth will humble you, bring you right down and realize you're nothing. And when you get down and discouraged, this truth will allow you to say, I've got a rock that I can trust in and lean upon. And this is not just a figment of my imagination. This is that true rock. The rock above all others. The God above all others. Listen, we're not in some false religion, some cult. This is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the solid rock. This God is the God of gods. Beside Him there is no God. And only by faith can you embrace that. Now, I can't give you faith, but if you have faith, I'm telling you, you lay hold on to that. And you'll find rest. You'll find strength. You'll find strength to be quiet when you want to talk. You'll have strength to say, I'm sorry, when you need to. You'll have strength to say, I love you, when you say, I ought to give up. You'll have strength that will help preserve you on your job, in your marriage, in your life. I'm talking about something that goes with you in your day-to-day affairs, that's not something you hear on Sunday. And it sounds like, you know, I hear in the educational world so many high-minded things that in practicality don't work. I'm telling you, this is God's Word. And it will be a constant, steady supply to you and a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And it will brighten your life. And let's say it this way. He will brighten your life. Because it's all about Him. If I preach the Word, what do I preach? The Word. Now what do you mean? When I preach the written Word, I'm preaching the living Word. And this living Word is the Word that was with God, who verily was God, who made all things. By Him all things were made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. And that's what I wanted to talk about from Hebrews today. And boy, you get into that, you can stay there a while. He is the eternal only begotten. Every day He is the only begotten. Today, eternally, He is the God who inhabits eternity. Every day, He's always been the only begotten. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm telling you, that's who we depend and trust in. He says, for the Lord is a great God. Oh, we got a great God. Who are we worshiping today? I got a great God. If your God isn't a great God, you don't have the right God. That's just the way it is. Somebody said, well, this is God, but I don't believe He's got this and got that. I'm telling you, like the little old song, we don't sing it, and probably have reasons not to. He holds the world, whole world in His hands. He don't only hold it, and it's by Him that it consists. He made it, and He keeps it, and He is working. He's sovereign. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'm telling you, in His hands, we can be resting and trusting and depending and leaning. And when you need something, you have one who already knows what you need before you ask. For the Lord is a great God and a great King. Now get this, above all gods. In other words, He's a great God and a great King above all gods. Now, why is that there? That means He has a power above all powers. There's a power and an authority above all other powers and authorities. As we look in Colossians really quick in verse chapter 1. Let's just read chapter 1, verse 15. This is our God, and this is Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And get this, verse 17. Of Colossians chapter 1. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I'm telling you that He's above, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Now, some people think somebody else is the head of the church, but if we got somebody as head of the church other than the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not His church. The preacher here is not the head of this church, nor is any other preacher, nor is any other man. Nobody in Rome is the head of the church. I'm telling you who the head of the church is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's the head of the church, because everybody else would mess us up. But I'm telling you, we've got a head that will never lead us in the wrong way. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Oh, I love that. He is the beginning. Somebody said, well, where did He come from? Well, He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That means He comes at first before anything else. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And get verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Well, I'm glad it wasn't us who had to get into this, but that which He has done for us. Now, see, that's a joyful sound. If I would be telling you today how you need to do something, because He's wanting and pleading and begging, and He's just dependent upon you, and if you don't do your part, all He's done won't matter. Does that sound like what I just read to you? No. He has all power. It says in the body, He says, in you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We are to continue in the faith, in the belief, in the trust in what the Lord has done. For the Lord our God is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. That means He knows what's on the inside of the earth. By the way, He's the only one who knows what's there. We can speculate, and that's all it is. He knows, because He made it. And in and the strength of the hills is His also. He knows all about the hills. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Now, do we believe that? I do. I believe it, just what it says. And to say anything else about it would be to limit who Jesus is and what He's done. And listen, God forbid we'd ever do that. And He says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. That's where we should be today. And let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. The Lord is our Maker. Psalm 100 says it this way. He says, know ye, verse 3. And much of verse 1 and 2 kind of fit with whatever is here in in the 95th division of the Psalm also. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. Now, how did we get here? He made us. Now, I'm saying to you, He not only made us naturally, but He also made us spiritually. If you're here this morning, it isn't because you made that decision, that choice, that effort. It's because He made us. He's the one who made us. And that He made us. And not we ourselves, we are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. It is His pasture. We belong to Him. We are a purchased people. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And therefore we are to enter into His gates as He commands us here in verse 4 of the 100th Psalm. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That means we're to honor and glorify Him. And why are we to do that? For the Lord is good. And His mercy is everlasting. Thanks be to God, His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Which tells me the truth we're preaching today, I believe, is the truth they were preaching 200 years ago here at Happy Creek. And I pray that the Lord will continue, and know He will continue to keep this truth here in this world. I pray it'll be right here. That's my prayer. I don't know how that'll be, but who knows? We may be out of here before we know it. I know one thing, it sure seems like the time is at hand, doesn't it? But a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day, and we know it's known unto Him. Okay. Time is gone. He is our God. Isn't that personal? And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Now, who's He talking to? Well, that's clear in verse 7 who He's talking to. He says, today if you will hear His voice. Harden not your heart as in the provocation. Can God's little children harden their heart? Can we harden our hearts? Brother Terry already mentioned some of that in his prayer about how sometimes we, even as God's children, can get led astray and have our hearts go hardened to these things and forget those things. And what happens? We don't lose our salvation, but we, like David, lose the joy of that salvation. It's His salvation. It's what He's done. We lose the rest and the joy and the peace that we ought to be having in God, as God's little children. Brethren, we are to live our life trusting in the Lord. He says, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. Time really won't allow for us to talk about the travel through the wilderness, but if you'll see this pattern in the wilderness. And throughout the Old Testament and really the New Testament. And you see His pattern in our lives as well. You see God's little children being blessed of the Lord, then very thankful and praising the Lord and giving honor and praise to the Lord, and then they're blessed and their things get going pretty good for them, and then the next thing you know, they get to the place where they start forgetting about Him and they stop praising Him, and then if you're not careful, the next thing you know, they're patting themselves on the back for what they have, and then the Lord brings chastisement upon them and they get down and discouraged, and then they cry to the Lord again. And when they cry out to Him, He is long-suffering and He's merciful, and He hears their cry and He comes and helps them, and you see that pattern going on and on. Brethren, how much better it would be for us to learn from this and not continue to go in that round and roundabout state, but remember every day to be praising Him. And when you have those good things, and I'm telling you today, your life is going to be loaded with benefits. Is that good news? I didn't say you're going to have the car you want. I didn't say that. I didn't say you're going to have all the money you want. I didn't say when you get to work on Monday, everything's just going to go real good and smooth on the job. I didn't say that your home is just going to be a model home where you have no troubles or problems or cares or concerns, that your children are always going to listen to you every step of the way. I didn't say any of that. But I'm saying to you, every day you live, the Lord has promised to load you with benefits. He's daily loaded us with benefits, blessings. And that means in the midst of the troubles and the problems and the conflicts that you have, just as a result of being in a world that's a fallen world. Listen, we're living in a planet that's a fallen. Not only did sin bring all, brought man to his fall, the planet is cursed. And we are living in a world that's untoward the things of God. We heard about that also in the prayer. The world is not going in the course of God's little children. But God's little children have been given the promises of the Lord, that as we look to Him in the midst of all that we stand in need of, His grace is sufficient. And when we're weak, that's when we're strong. So if you feel weak this morning, you're in a good place. You trust in the Lord. The Bible says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. You ever look at the world and it look like a land of the dead? Well, you're not believing. Because if by faith, when you see the world, you ought to see the land of the living. Because you see the activity and the work of Almighty God. And he says, I had fainted unless I had believed. You're either both fainting or you're believing. Unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord, and you see with an eye of faith the goodness of the Lord all around you. You ever look at the world and you can't hardly see any goodness? Well, you got your eyes, you're looking through the wrong set of eyes. Put off the old man, put on the new. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You'll see the work of God. We'll stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. And I appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Love you, my brother. Bless you.